Morning.
It's so good to be here this morning. The songs, thank you so much for the songs this morning. All the reflection and the song we sung about how we love the Lord. May He be pleased with what He hears. And may He be pleased with me with what He hears this morning as we study together the Word of God, and maybe He pleased with what He hears, what people say about us and how we live His message and how we live our lives. May He be pleased. We've been doing a series on discipling. Today is the last one of the series. I'll recap quickly. First, I spoke on the heart of discipling, getting to know God and to experience His love. Then I spoke on walking together, one-on-one discipling, for where two or three gather in my name, there I'm with them, or I am with them. And then last week, the richness of a small group discipling. Remember all the problems they had in the small group. The apostles becoming servants of one another, just as Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And today, I'll speak on the breadth or amplitude of discipling. How far does discipling go? How far does it reach if we do this discipling, if we follow His heart, if we obey? The text that we'll read is the last few verses in the book of Matthew, Matthew 28, and I'll start on verse 16. Remember, we've been looking just at the book of Matthew because it is said as a manual for us to follow, to be disciples, and to teach or to disciple or to help other people. For those who are visiting with us this morning, we want to welcome you. We're about taking the message to other people, and hopefully you'll want to study the Bible, and you'll want to sit down and obey what He says, because this is what He told us to do, or told the original 11, but has been passed on through the ages for us. In verse 16 of Matthew 28, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." See, He set up a meeting. He said, "I'm going to die, but in 3 days, I'm going to be alive again. All right, let's just set up an appointment." He was so convinced. Can you imagine all those people? I mean, these guys are like, okay, He told us to be here, but we don't know. We've never seen someone 3 days later be resurrected. Okay, we're going to show up. But who knows if He's going to show up, in a sense. And so it says in verse 17, "When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now think about that for a minute. 11 people. It would be many times. Well, today we have a lot more than that time. 11 of you are together. Some are doubting, and you are thinking, "Jesus, but they're still doubting. Are you sure you want us to do this?" And He says, "Okay, now go to all nations." All nations? We're just from Galilee. We haven't gone very far here. What are you talking about? Yeah, you 11. Do it. How do you feel in a small group of 11 people? Jesus comes in, "Just you? Do it. Go into all nations. Make disciples everywhere. Baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I've commanded you." And then you look at yourself. Us? You're talking to us? Us 11? Who are we? We're a few people. We don't know where all nations are. And yet, this is what he says. The breadth of time and space. The amplitude of time and space. This passage is known as the Great Commission. It first started with the apostles, then it continued with the people they reached out to. See, they didn't have to go to all nations. They just needed to pass this on to other people that would go to other places, like we read in the book of Acts. Remember, it says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Chapter 8, verse 4. And then in chapter 11, several years later, we find in verse 19, now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word among the Jews. Verse 20. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, time has passed now, probably 10 years or so. The circumstances have changed. There was a great persecution, yet the message was still ringing out. So it wasn't like the first year they were so encouraged and, okay, this is what he said, we'll do it. And after a year, it kind of fizzled out. No, as a matter of fact, it's growing. It wasn't during the nice times in the church in Jerusalem where they got to be about 5,000 or so counting the men. And, oh, yeah, now we're preaching. Yeah, now we feel good about ourselves. No, now they're scattered all around, like we've been reading on Wednesdays in the book of James. They're scattered. It wasn't just when the apostles, you know, Peter, James, John, all those great preachers, they were preaching that they were advancing. Because now we don't even know who went to these places. We don't have their names. People were scattered. But in every case, it says, they preached the word wherever they went. And most important of all, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people turned to the Lord. He had said to go all nations, and now a few of them decide to, let's just not preach to the Jews. How about the Greeks? And can you imagine the excitement when they said that? They're like, we haven't done this. Nobody has ever done this. What? Yes, Cornelius had been baptized, but I'm sure they didn't know about what was happening. Are you sure you want to do that? Yeah, he did say something about going to all nations. Let's do it and see what happens. I don't know what it was like, but it says that a few of them decided to go, and they responded really well. It's so amazing because the first time, like, literally people go on a mission to reach out to another nation, probably the first missionaries to a different nation or people from a different nation. And it worked. See, the message, the beautiful thing about discipling and his message, or the message in discipling is, or his message, really, it works. People respond to it. When you preach it, people respond. No matter where you go, no matter what time of the year you go, it could be in the spring, in the fall, in the winter, it could be in the summer, it could be in the farthest place you could ever think of, people will respond. If you preach it, remember the movie? If you build it, he will come. Well, if we preach it, they will come. If we preach it, they will come. They'll want to come around. They'll want to repent. They'll want to get baptized. We don't know how they organize themselves in doing all this, but it is so beautiful to see how they kept thinking about this commission that Jesus had given them, and they put it into practice. We're here really because disciples believed in Matthew 28. That's how we are here. Many years ago, centuries, people came from Europe bringing the message because they believed Matthew 28. This is what he said, and it keeps going. Remember that bunny that keeps going? This has been going longer than that bunny that keeps on going. People keep preaching. People came that were persecuted in Europe, and they said, let's go to this new place, America. And they came, and they preached, and many became Christians. And that's how, through time, we got here. People are still coming to preach to this country. And yet, many people have gone out from the U.S. to preach around the world. I'm very thankful that I was part of that. Both my wife and I left as missionaries from this country to go preach the news. But we're just a couple of many missionaries that have gone out. Many, even some of you, have gone to other places to preach the good news. It's exciting to share the good news and to hear about how it is spreading. Even as we read in Acts, it's like, you read Acts and you're like, man, this is so exciting. Where can I go? I want to go. But you preach the message where you're at. There are people anywhere you go. And now that people are traveling everywhere, there are people from just about any nation anywhere you go. And so you could preach, and who knows? Brother that was preaching to me at the university where I was going to, he had no idea. He was just sharing the good news with me. He had no idea. I remember a sister came from the church many years later. A sister I respected a lot, I still do, and she said, Flavio, I'm so sorry. Really? Why? What's happening? When you first became a Christian, we didn't know you were going to make it this far. I was not the, you know, a very secure. I was one of those guys, an engineering student that didn't have many friends, kind of nerdy. Still am kind of nerdy and just kind of on the side and wouldn't talk to anybody. My character was so weak. I would say no when I meant yes. I would say yes when I meant no. I was so immoral when I was in college. I was going out with a married woman at the time, and I read my Bible. I was even sharing the scriptures with people, with women. And then after reading the scriptures, I would sleep with them. And it was like, what? What is this? And I knew. And so when I became a Christian, it was like, oh, man, am I going to be able to make it? My character just needed so much work. And so this sister, they were like, okay, if you want to baptize him, but who knows if this guy's going to make it? Little did they know that God had a different plan for me, and I was going to become a missionary, and God was going to use me in ways that I never even imagined. So it gives me hope for anybody. If I can make it, anybody can make it. If God can use me, God can use any of you, because that's his power. That's how it works. So we've gone out, but I am very thankful. I have to thank the church here for all the support for all the missionaries throughout many years of the congregation here, for the prayers for all the missionaries, for the heart that many of you share of wanting to get this message out. Thank you for that. It has been a great month for me, but now I must leave. My wife and I serve in South America, encouraging the disciples in different places and preaching to new ones along the way. It has been very special to be here during this month. The church in Hickory has a very special place in my heart and my wife's heart. I was first introduced to the family here by my in-laws, Richard and Karen. By the way, they do send their love. Then a brother showed me how to love the church here, Brother Foyle. I remember meeting that man, and he showed me how to love. He loved the church here dearly. He believed in each one of us. He believed in wanting to preach the good news. I remember getting with him the first time and said, let's just have coffee. And he said, great, let's have coffee. So we went. It was in Morganton. We had coffee. And then he said, okay, what are we going to study today? So we got to study something about Jesus. We got to keep talking about Jesus. And it was so encouraging to hear. We had just met. So he taught me how to love. And he loved the church until the day he passed. Now, I'm committed to you guys for life. And you're stuck with me for life. I'll keep coming back. And when I come back, I just want to see my brothers and sisters in Hickory. Because that's what I've been taught. This is what Christianity is about. It's about loving each other. But I must continue. God willing, I will meet my wife on Friday in Buenos Aires, Argentina, where we plan to see our son, one of our sons, visit the disciples there and preach there as well. We'll be there for about 10 days. Then God willing, after that, we'll go to Paraguay. We'll be preaching in different places, doing similar things, visiting the disciples and preaching the good news and encouraging. We'll do that for about a week. And then after that, we'll go to Colombia and be there for a couple more weeks, preaching, encouraging, helping the disciples there. And then we'll go to Mexico. We'll travel in different places in Mexico for a couple more weeks. And then we'll be back and hopefully be able to go to Caracas, Venezuela, to go encourage and help the disciples there in the month of November. And then we'll go back to Colombia. And this is all before the end of the year. So please, please pray for us as we continue spreading the good news. And please pray that God will open the doors wherever we go. But also pray that God will give us the courage and the love to walk through the open doors. I used to only pray for the open doors, and then I thought, I got myself, God, why did you open that door? I don't know. Do I want to go through there? Do I want to go there? I'm tired. I don't want to do it. And so now I pray, God, open the doors, but please help me go through them. Give me the courage and the love to be able to do it. How does this message continue spreading through each one of us? That's how Christianity spreads. Whether we're here or we go somewhere to share it with others, there are no limitations in time or space for the message. While we're still alive, the message must be rung out. Amen. It must continue. I had one of the best times on Wednesday night after church with our brother Kevin. And we talked and discussed about, okay, Kevin, it's awesome what you do. He serves in so many ways, and he helps in so many ways. But the reality is, he is a preacher. He must focus, and we must help him on his task to continue spreading the good news. If he's busy with a lot of other things, he won't be doing much preaching. So some of us, if I may encourage, I feel like I've been here so many times and so many years now, I can encourage you as a brother. Some of us must need to pick up some of these tasks that he does and works on and develops so we can free him. He's a preacher. He's also a great song leader. He's a preacher. He needs to go and have time to go to LRU and preach there. We have some students that are study the Bible. He needs time to be able to go to other places to continue preaching the gospel, because that's what we hired a preacher to do, to preach. Now, all of us preach in one way or another, but he has the task of doing this. So please, church, we can go up to him as a brother. If you see him doing something, he's a servant, so he's going to want to do a lot of things. If you see him doing something that somebody else can do or that you can do, say, brother, you're free from this task. I'll do this, and you do your preaching and song leading whenever he has a chance. Please do that. So that way, the message keeps ringing out to new places and to other people. Not just the breadth of time and place, but of unity. How far does unity go? It's amazing to see when human beings are united on something. It's amazing how much they can do when they're together, much more than if each individual does it on their own. I pray for this country. There is a call to unity right now in this country. May God grant you that unity in the nation. But what happens when people are united around the Word of God? John 17. Look what it says. John 17. United around the Word of God. John 17. In verse 16, we read, this is the prayer, another part of the prayer that we've read in the past few weeks. In verse 16, it says, talking about the 11, they're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who would believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So that the world may believe. You hear it in Jesus the whole time. He's thinking about the whole world. Oh, the whole human race. Everyone must hear about this. He's always thinking about this. And here is a passage where he says, this is one way the world may hear, may know, may believe that he comes from God. This is one way. If they are united, if they remain united, then the world would know. United in what? One, united in truth, for sure. It says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. What unites us, what we have to unite us, is the word of truth. You and I could have a lot of opinions about a lot of things. And you just give us a chance, and we'll both just go at it, having opinions and sharing opinions. But we all must come resolved to be united around the word of God. And we must have the diligence, and we must have the patience, and we must do the work of studying the Word of God to understand the message in the Word of God, to understand what God wants for each one of us and for all of us together. That's what we want to study the Bible for. It's not so that I can tell somebody else what to do. It's so that I know I can learn what to do to how to love others, and how to encourage unity and help others come together. That's what Christianity and the Bible is about. We must be united by the word of truth. Not your truth and my truth, but we must come together in the word of truth, and something that we must come together, and here he implies it, sanctified or set apart from this world. He says, they're not of the world, they've been set apart. They're going to have to live in this world, but they're set apart to live differently. So we must be united in repentance according to the word of truth. We must be united. We must call sin what the Bible calls sin. We must expect it in our lives. If the Bible says it, I must, even if I think differently, even if I feel differently, it must be true. I remember one of the sins that really reached my heart when I was studying the Bible that I had no idea was cowardness. I never thought cowardness. I always thought that was bad and it was not cool to be coward. But I never thought that the Bible would say, if somebody lives as a coward, they will not make it into heaven. That called my attention. I remember reading about lying. Lying, I thought, well, you know, a white lie here and there, what's wrong with a little bit of a lie? And then I read what God said, what Jesus says about whoever lies, really, his or her father is Satan because he's the father of lies. And it also says that all the people who lie are not going to make it to heaven. And it gave me a different perspective on lying. I remember reading about sexual immorality. I just thought, well, that's normal. You know, I'm young. I'm in college. You know, it's expected. You're kind of weird if you're not immoral. But then I read what the Bible said. And then I started having fear of God believing what the word of truth said. Now, in some of these things, honestly, I felt very different about them. I didn't think it was that bad to do some of these things. But then I read, and I had read about how God felt about it and what God thought about it. I decided, you know what? I'm going to believe what God says. I can't go on, keep going on what I feel. I got to believe if this is the truth, and if that's what he says, okay, I need to repent. Amen. Maybe some of you need to repent this morning. Maybe some of you are still playing with sin. Maybe some of you are still just living in sin and living with sin. Well, come forward. Just decide once for all to take a step of faith. God, help me. Help me deal with this sin. I repent. I want to deal with this. I want to leave it behind. I want to be set apart, sanctified. I want to be set apart so I can be united with God. See, we become united when we are baptized into Christ. We repent and we are baptized to be united to Christ. And he prayed for that. When he's praying for this, it's not that we all come together and meet on a Sunday morning. No, that's not what unites us. We could all meet together and be as disunified as everybody else that doesn't come in here. No, being united is united in heart. It's having that heart towards sin, towards repentance that Jesus had, being sanctified, living a life set apart, but yet living in this world to love the people in this world and to call others to repent in their lives. United in repentance according to the truth, but also united in prayer. It's amazing to hear, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And yes, this first time is the message that the 11 are going to preach. But then if you continue that, he continues that prayer, because then that prayer also goes for those who heard that message from the first ones. And so in a sense, he's praying for each one of us too. That for us who believe in me through their message, that they all be one, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. See, the world is going to know about Jesus, is going to believe about Jesus. One of the things that gets my heart, one of the men that really challenges my heart and my life is Gandhi. Gandhi considered himself a humble student of Jesus. He never declared himself as a disciple of Jesus, just a student of Jesus. But he did challenge the Christianity of the West. He did challenge, how come you Christians don't believe the Sermon of the Mount? How come you are given so much into materialism? How come you guys don't believe what Jesus says about forgiving and putting the other cheek? See, this is what he used for politics because it was about liberating his country. That's exactly what he used, the teachings of Jesus. He says, I'm just a humble student. I'm not a disciple. But how come you, who declare yourselves disciples, you don't live as he lived? when I hear that from him, I'm like, ah, it's so challenging. It is a challenge. It is humbling for someone outside to believe more in what Jesus taught than from some of us from within sometimes. We must be united in prayer. We must have the heart of Jesus. This is the only way. Yes, many of you will not be able to go many places. Yes, many of you may only be able to reach out to your neighbors. Maybe some of you may not even be able to go outside to reach out to your neighbors. But you can be united in the same prayer he was that night, that the whole world will know. You could still pray from afar for each one of your neighbors, that they will know. One way or another, they will hear. They'll want to follow Jesus. See, if we're all united in this, we read a passage today in the book of Timothy or the letter to Timothy that this is what God wants, for us to be praying for our governments, praying so that the message can spread. That's what the prayers are all about. It's not just so that we could have a good government and I can benefit from that. A lot of people, that's what they want. They want a good government that will help benefit their own selves, even if it affects everybody else. That's not what the prayer was for. It was so that we could have peace and the message may be preached and the message may go out. God has blessed this country tremendously. And you have been a blessing to many. But people who study religion are calling the U.S. to consider what has happened to Europe. 200 years ago, that zeal you have had, Europe had it. Now look what's happened. People are having to go there to preach to them because in many places they have lost their zeal for the Word of God. May you continue having the zeal. May you continue having the desire to spread the good news. And how do we do that? Well, John 13, he told us how to do it. Remember? John 13, verse 34. The breath of love. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. See, that's the key. It's not just doing the task, but doing it out of love. See, we take the messages out of love, not out of, that's the task that has been given to the churches of Christ. No, we do it out of love for God and love for people. That's why we do it. And Jesus says, if you guys love one another, people would come in and say, oh, this is it. We're loving. These people are loving one another. It's almost like a sign to the outsiders. Where you find them loving among themselves, that's my place. This is a challenge. That's what we've been talking about Wednesday nights. How can we love one another? How can we reach out to one another? How can we continue visiting one another? Yes, that's what God wants us to do. And that's a sign to the outsiders. This is the place if we love one another. But to love one another, for me to love one another, I must die first, like he says in John 12, if you turn the page. In verse 20, he says, now there were some Greeks, and here are the Greeks, and we'll end with the Greeks, non-Jews, among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was in Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew, Philip, turned and told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples. And then in verse 27, he says, now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. A grain of wheat must die or will only remain a single seed. To love one another, we all have to die to ourselves. That's the key. If we die to ourselves constantly, we'll be able to love. Because our hearts, that is, if you've been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the Holy Spirit, if you've received the Holy Spirit, love is in your life. Love is inside of you. The love of the Holy Spirit is in you. So it will come out. Don't worry about if you're going to love or not. It will. You will love, but you must die to yourself. I must die to myself every single day. If I do that, then love will come through in the lives of others. And we all have to die in different ways for the message to go out. This task of taking the message is not easy. Jesus himself has given us an example here. He's about to die. His heart is troubled so that the message could be out, go out, so that he could die for the forgiveness of sins, so that others can take his place now and for the message to go out. And he says, what am I going to say now? Father, save me from this hour? No, that's the reason I came. Taking the message to other people, it's never going to be easy. Some of us may be thinking, oh, it's just easy. I'll just go up to them and say, hey, do you want to come to church? And they'll say, yes, tell me about Jesus. When do I have to repent and how do I get baptized? A lot of us are expecting that to happen. It doesn't happen that way. Now, some people do respond in a very nice way at first, but others, it takes a lot of love and a lot of time of investment. It takes a lot of patience and a lot of forgiveness. Because they'll say one thing and do another, and you go, oh, I'm tired of telling this person. It doesn't seem they want to repent, but he does say to die to yourself and to continue. And that time you just don't want to even call that person. You pick up the phone and you call him and say, hi, how you doing? Oh, I'm so glad you called. This was the time. We never know when God is going to touch the hearts of people. We're called to love people. But to do that, we must die. We must die to our comfort. We must die to our money, to our time, to our energy. We must die to our own dreams or our own ideas of what we want to do or how we want to do it. See, he gave us an example here. He says, but if he dies, then it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves, and what does he mean by that? Anyone who loves his life will lose it, but anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If we live to love the life in this world, you're not going to make it. You're not going to love people. You're not going to take the message because you're going to be thinking about you and your life in this world. But if you despise your life in this world, and if you live for others to make it to heaven, then you will keep it for eternity. And then this message will continue to be spread out. There are times, I must confess, that I just want to stop and give up. There are times when I'm like, God, I'm tired. I know some of you probably, when you hear about traveling, oh, that's so nice. You get to travel and you go to... I don't really enjoy traveling. It's not my thing. I'd rather be just at one place and just sit there. I don't enjoy the airports. I don't enjoy the security. I don't enjoy, and having a Colombian passport, believe me, I don't enjoy that at all. The things that sometimes I have to go through. But once I'm there and I see the people and I get a chance to love people in a different culture and then they hear about Jesus and they're encouraged and they want more and they say, man, can you teach us more? Then I would think, okay, this was worth it. But there are times when I just want to give up. There are times I see the world and I see the sin and I see people just turn into sin like by bundles. And I'm like, is this really worth it? It was hard. I did go through a period of time when I would turn about 45 and my kids were growing up and I'm like, is this it? Is this all I did with my life? And they were looking at me and daddy is, so what do you do? I just preach. Uh-huh. And what else? Well, this is it. There's no way to measure. We'll find out in heaven if my work was worth it or not, if it made any difference or not. I'll find out there. But meanwhile, I can only go by faith and keep believing. Okay, I got to continue spreading the news. Is it going to do anything in your life? I have no idea. I pray that it will. I pray that what we've seen this morning, I pray that as we have read the passages, that the message in there has captured your heart, your mind, your soul, and it's going to want to make you do something about it. I pray that this message will continue ringing out in Hickory and its surroundings, and in the years to come, we'll just find out all the things that God did. I pray that the hand of God be with the church here so that many will come and many will want to repent and be baptized from your preaching. I'll miss you. Please pray for me. My heart is with you, but the message must go on and the messenger must go.